Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
head.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Got a special guest, a legend in the building.
The OG.
Scarface.
What's up?
Morning, Mr. Face.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me.
Man, you look like a whole different person, my brother.
I feel like a whole different person.
Word.
I'm trying to gun up. I'm trying to get some of those.
Oh, God.
Without the jail sentence.
One more time.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. Curse. Go ahead.
No, yeah, don't do that.
It's all right. We put it out.
It's all good.
That was my bad.
It's all good.
They gonna be like, man, Face, you blew it. You blew it.
Nah, it's all good.
We ain't airing it. We ain't airing it.
Yeah, it's not gonna. It'd be easier if you don't.
You don't do too many interviews.
No, I don't.
Historically, you haven't.
It wasn't really much to talk about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You got a whole. What do you mean, Face?
I mean, he speaks through his music a lot, though.
Yeah, you don't really much to talk about. I mean, not only that, I'm shy. I don't.
I interviewed you one time. I thought it was really fun because I had, I didn't know your personality was so
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You got talking to the mic, though, Face.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm laid off.
You're a madman. I'm as you say.
Very much so.
That's the name of your book. I wish they had sent a copy of your book up here before
we tried
you came.
To get early.
It
so
came
we
out.
Read.
It's out today, though.
Diary of a Madman. Hold on, let me help you out there.
No, I got. I've been doing this all my life.
Don't
you see, that's how you create space.
That's
the first thing you learn. How to create space.
That's how I'm in the club. Somebody wait.
Create space.
No, it's good to see you in good health, though. One of the last things I heard was you on your deathbed.
Well, I didn't want to die, so I had to make. I had to make some adjustments. Either I was going to be, sick and heart attack or stroke or, just dying in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could try to make a change.
You had a lot of health issues. It was like I read a whole list of things. That
congestive heart failure, high blood pressure.
Blood pressure. Still have issues with high blood pressure. Borderline diabetic.
Damn. Kidney damage.
Enlarged heart. Some kidney damage.
Gosh.
Yeah. But, that's irreversible.
Right.
But you can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix it, but you can stop it. And every March, somebody in my family has a stroke. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it ain't happened lately, mm-hmm. but every March, somebody, my grandfather died. My aunt had a stroke in March. She's, we bleeping?
Yeah, go ahead. Bleep.
She's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle.
You got to talk to the mic, though. Talk to the mic.
Oh, damn.
Before Charlamagne gets up and moves it for you.
I know.
All right.
So what? You say your grandma had a stroke?
My grandfather died.
Grandfather.
He died of a heart attack in the house that I grew up in.
Wow.
My aunt, she had a stroke. She's actually living in the house with my grandmother. And then my uncle, he's in a home. He had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 7 or 8 of them, though.
Damn.
I know.
Damn.
So what was it for you? Hard living? Just the years in the rap game? Stress?
My mom say, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have took way better care of myself.
Right.
Mm. I had no idea that I was going to live to see 35.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 24. Mm-hmm. I mean, how old am I?
24.
About 24.
24. Mm-hmm. I had no idea I was going to live this long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn. should I live this long?
Right.
I read an interesting quote from you. You said something about you were just living to die or something like that. Like,
I mean, you're born dying.
Born dying,
first, the first, when you come out of whatever you come out of, whatever part you come out of, that's your first, that's when your clock starts ticking.
Right. Out of the vagina.
You feel me?
Yeah.
The vajayjay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you want to call it.
Born dying, that sounds so pessimistic too.
Really?
I don't know, I'm born dying.
Okay, like, you can say I'm born living.
Yeah, I like that.
Or you can look at it realistically.
So how did you lose so much weight?
I ran for my life.
Man.
I had to. Mm-hmm. I did. I ran for my life. And now I eat right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lying. I f***ed up yesterday, man. Right. I was in Denver.
It was 420. You were smoking. You had the munchies.
Dude. So, can I say this?
Yeah.
Yes, man.
I went to Denver, right? And I promised myself, look, I'm not smoking.
Oh, boy.
In Denver.
I swear to goodness. Like, even though you can smoke as much weed as you can consume,
yeah,
you can smoke as much. You don't even have to buy weed in Denver.
Here.
Right.
Bro, I rolled up a joint and I smoked some of it, and I got so high, and I was so hungry. I ate, like, really bad.
What'd you get?
Dude, I had, like, 4 Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, I love Reese's peanut butter cups, man.
Peanut butter's not that bad.
Especially when you're high.
Nah, it's bad.
He said it's bad.
Yeah, because I ate them.
I ate them.
I drank some orange juice. Mm. Yeah.
And that's not good if you're borderline diabetic.
No.
Reese's peanut butter cups with orange juice.
I'm not borderline diabetic no more.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. I hope not. I need to go get some more tests ran, but I think I'm pretty out of the clear now since I got my stuff together.
Now, you brought up a good point. You said you never thought you would live to see 24, but now at the age you're at, do you want to live? It's like the Cain and Minister Society question.
Yeah. And that's in the book. Mm-hmm. I talk about how bad I wanted to die when I was younger, and they was like, "Well, what kind of advice would you give to somebody, you know, who's feeling like?"
Face like he in the trap house. He like, who that?
I don't know that face. We all look like that. We all look like that. They thought they was with you.
I was. They said, well, what kind of advice could you give to someone that's thinking about? Well, my advice. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion at the same time, like I say, would be to just live it.
Right. Mm.
You know, it's too easy to die. Said that. It's been said in my book. Like, it's too easy to die. Living is the hard part. Like, I'm so glad that we are governed by the laws of a forgiving God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He forgave what I attempted to try to, what I thought that I wanted to do to myself.
Okay. Right.
You know, instead of taking my ass out, he gave me an opportunity to live, you know.
Why did you want to die, though?
I don't know. And I think maybe I just wanted attention.
I read that somewhere.
Because I think that if you really wanted to die, you could.
Yeah, you could do it.
That's the easy part. Living is the tough part. I'm not gung-ho about checking out of this right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's the inevitable, as I said before, and you hate when I talk like that, I know. But yeah.
But let's talk from the beginning. Ghetto Boys.
Loved it.
First time the first time me as a New Yorker heard Scarface was on Ghetto Boys. And how let's start from the beginning. A lot of people might not know who the Ghetto Boys are. How did that group come about?
That was a group that existed before I became a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
James Prince is a genius.
Mm-hmm. Jay Prince, the OG.
Right.
Is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
He heard something in Will and heard something in me and put together a group,
mm-hmm.
and Bill, and put together a group that would, you know, later be a part of hip-hop history.
Absolutely.
You know?
Now, how was it when the first time you met Bushwick Bill? Because, I mean, if you don't know who Bushwick Bill, he's a little guy.
Let's get the cameras off right now. Hey, when I first met Bill, I thought he was Lil J.
Lil J?
Lil J who?
The OG.
Oh, you thought
he... Hey, when I first met Bushwick, you know, he was walking around saying he was Lil J.
Mm-hmm.
Got you. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, so... As time went on, I realized that Bushwick was not Lil J.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I finally got a chance to meet Jay, I knew that Bill wasn't him.
Right.
Like, so.
Thank God you ain't signed the Bill.
Thank God I did not sign the Bill. Straight up. Man, I'd have still been under that contract. But nah, when I first met Bill, we thought he was Jay.
Mm-hmm. Is he still around now, Bill?
Yeah.
Y'all don't do shows anymore, do you?
Yeah, we can raid 2 in June. Really? Bill lost his mind, man. Rest in peace, man. Yeah, he lost his mind.
He just lost it?
Just lost
his mind. I thought Ben was crazy.
No, his mom.
His mom.
I thought he said his mom.
Oh,
okay.
Nah, he been lost that. That's been gone.
Got you.
Yeah. Bill, yeah. What you want me to say? That Bill was cool?
No. I'm just
okay. We're good. We're good. Nah, Bill. You know, me and Bill used to live together. You know, in the same house
really?
For a long time. Mm-hmm. So if I never ever saw Bill again in life, it would be way too soon. Okay. And that's my friend, but damn, man. Bill done cut my damn thumb off damn near. He done jumped out of second floor windows. Yeah. He did all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did y'all ever fist fighting? All that kind of?
I ain't never had no fight with Bill. That wouldn't be fun, man.
It wouldn't be fun.
Because you couldn't go to sleep around him. Yeah. Like he'll kill you.
Bill'll kill you.
He really was the guy rapping at the end of Mind Playing Tricks on him.
Nah, I wrote that.
Oh, you wrote that for him?
I wrote that for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, that was my record.
Got you.
First. Mm-hmm. And funny how that song came about. I was, when Willie left the group.
Mm-hmm. Willie D?
Left the group. Mm-hmm. And I was forced to do a solo album. I just knew this was over.
Right.
Like, damn, man. We ain't got no more Will. Ghetto Boy was a huge success and Will leave the group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just knew it was over for me, so I just got back on. I was a solo artist to begin mm-hmm. with, so I just started making my own stuff, you know, again. And Jay was trying to put a deal together with me at Priority, the same time the Ghetto Boys were finishing up the We Can't Be Stopped album.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a couple of records for Jay, and Jay took them to Priority.
Mm-hmm.
When Jay came back from Priority, he was like, man, they love this Mind Playing Tricks song. Mm-hmm. So he put Willie on it, gave Bill the last verse, and the rest is history.
So all the verses were the same?
No. The first verse, the second verse, and Bill's verse are the verses that I originally rapped in the song.
Got you.
On the first one. The first, right. My Mind Playing Tricks on Me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you hear Willie, that's Willie's verse that he wrote. But the other four verses, the other three verses on that record are the three that I wrote, mm-hmm. and Bill took the last one. Now, would that song have been as big as it is now if I rapped it by myself? Probably not.
Right.
You know, that it remains to be.
Were you okay with that?
I'm all right with it.
No,
I'm
I mean, when
player.
It happened, were you like, hold on?
I'm a team player, mm-hmm. you know?
The song was amazing. It was the visual that did it, so yeah, probably
the
not.
And the video, that
Bushwick
video
Bill, the little yeah. short midget, yeah, you know yeah, what I mean, running up on people, that was like,
that,
wow.
That idea of not rapping in lip syncing in your videos was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't never want to be in my video. I don't like the performance part of a video.
Right.
I like to just show what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that part.
Right.
The visuals, I feel like, make the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's probably why that song was as big, too, along with what was being said.
Right.
You feel me?
What's your relationship like with Jay Prince and Rap-A-Lot now?
We all right.
Or?
We don't talk much, but we all right.
Word.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to write a book?
Actually, it came from some people that were managing me before and thought that I had an interesting story to tell and hooked up with a literary agent and a guy that was a great writer.
Benjamin Meadows Ingram.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He may have added some some keep you cool book type I can really write in there.
Right.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, that was my story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between books and music? Because you're always autobiographical in your music anyway.
I know. Was that? Yeah.
Very, right. Yeah.
You're right.
You've been giving us audio books for years. So what's the difference?
I appreciate that. I can't really say that it's a difference. I think that the main part is you know how to hide something from somebody. Mm-hmm. You put it in the book, right?
Well, that's what they say.
Okay, well then, damn. God damn. I was trying to duck that.
From somebody.
Thank you. The best way to hide something from a is put it in the book.
Right? Yeah.
Well, if you got something that somebody that you respect got written down, then maybe I can get in the reading. Damn.
I'm with you.
Come on, see the guy, man.
My favorite kind of books to
we
read are autobiographies.
The babies, man.
All right.
No, my favorite kind of books to read are autobiographies. Even if it's like a genre of music that I don't listen to, I always think it's interesting to hear people's stories.
Yeah, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help I jah.
Mm. And like you said before, the one excerpt that we've been seeing everywhere is they said you tried to kill yourself several times. You said you took a bunch of pills, like your mother's pills.
Yeah, my mom. I took some blood pressure pills and some other shit. And I just remember waking up in the ambulance and going to, excuse me, the ER, and they gave me some shit called Epicac. Damn, I'm sorry, man. That's loud. I said the word. I've been cussing all through the show.
Right. I thought you were talking about Epicac. I thought you was telling us about some new drug we ain't never heard of that's going to be
like, you don't want to with that.
Ooh, okay.
That's my bad.
Oh my gosh.
It was Epicac.
Ooh, Lord. I'm talking about I puked out my guts for like hours.
Mm.
Until I just had the dry heaves. You know how you be trying to throw up and shit won't come out, and then I'm sorry, y'all.
Again,
but they said you used to act out just because you wanted attention. You used to beat people with baseball bats. You tried to kill yourself off for attention.
No, I ain't whooping nobody ass for no attention.
Okay,
but I do encourage. I'm not even say that because that's gonna give me a lot of.
What do you encourage?
I encourage the kids, every kid, that if you got a problem with that bully. You go in front of the class and you beat his ass in front of everybody.
Were you bullied as a kid?
Hell no. That's the first thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find
the bully?
If he was the baddest dude in the school, if he was walking around and feeling on people's ears and shit, I remember I beat up a dude named Tyrone for grabbing on my ear like this all the time. He's supposed to be the school with the bully.
Right. What
the hell you know? Grabbing your ear for?
I don't know. He just... And I had a boxing game since I was 8 years old. I was in the doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guess he didn't know. You know, when I transferred to different school, you know, I get kicked out of school everywhere I go. Like I didn't even finish the ninth grade because they won't even. I don't think that they'll let me go back to school now.
Did you get your diploma?
Well, they don't want to see you in ninth grade.
Goodness gracious!
Yeah. Did you ever get a diploma?
He just said I was in the ninth grade.
I mean, I got kicked out of school too, but I got finished in ninth school. Nothing.
When people say, man, you stupid.
Duh.
I take that.
Yeah, duh.
So did rap
got
fill?
A ninth grade education.
Yeah.
What would you expect?
So did rap fill that void that the attention you were seeking, did rap fill it?
Because I at the time that I was acting out, I didn't know that attention was what I was looking for.
Right.
I didn't realize how much attention I was missing until I had my own children. And then I realized, well, goddamn, this boy just wants some attention.
Right.
Looking at what my sons would do for attention from me is what I would do back then for attention from my parents.
Gotcha.
I didn't have not a one time I saw my mom in the stands when I was playing football or baseball. All I remember was my mom coming up to the school after I beat the shit out the principal.
You beat up the principal?
What?
What? Face?
What could the principal do to you that you want to beat up the principal?
Hey, man, don't ask me. Ask the people that went to school with me.
Yeah.
Say, did he really beat up the principal? They'll be like, hell yeah.
Is that in the book?
I don't know if that's in the book or not.
So what happened?
Well, this a dude told one of my partners that, yeah, I'm finna go steal bread. And my partner said, you better hit him good.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta let him tell a story. We're gonna record him telling the story. Anyway, I don't know nothing about what happened pre-fight.
Right.
All I know is I went in my locker, and he hit me. And my boy say, that wasn't good enough. I heard that. So I got dead on his ass. The bell rung, and people was getting out of class and coming in their lockers. So his brother comes to see the fight. His brother jump in, get on his ass. The assistant principal come up, got on his ass. The principal came up, got on her ass.
It was a girl, a woman.
The coach came up, got on his ass. When I finally stopped getting on people's ass, my mama came up there. And she said, the next time that I have to come up to this school, I'm going to moon everybody.
Moon everybody?
What?
Pull down her pants?
She said she was going to moon everybody.
If you showing your ass, I'm going to show mine.
Dropped out.
Face is crazy.
Done.
Never went back. Never went back.
Goodness gracious.
How would you even be allowed back anyway?
Man, he can't. He beat the principal, the vice principal, the coach.
They said
assistants.
They tried to put me in this alternative school, like a school that's damn near like jail. And so I went there for like 4 days, five, and realized it wasn't for me.
So when did you get introduced to pen and paper?
Yeah, start thank God rhymes? Rapping came to you, boy.
Since you wasn't in school. Like, what made you just start rhyming?
I would have to say that I didn't know that we had to write rhymes. Write rhymes. Probably, I don't know, man. This is the Yo MTV Raps. Beto. This is some funny shit. So Beto was managing me and we were producing records. Beto would come. We ride the Metro, red Metro bus, and Beto would he'd have a brief. It was not a briefcase. It was actually, you know how to remember the cassette carrier.
Yeah.
Well, he had that with all the papers in it, like it was a briefcase.
Gotcha.
So we would go up to this place in the mall called something in the mall where you can rock record raps, right?
Right.
So I would beatbox on one track, and I'd bust a freestyle on the other. And we'd be listening to this, man, and all of a sudden, he's like, man, you need to, you're just as good as everybody else.
Got you.
And that's how it started. But what got you spitting so deep? Because, I mean, you listen to any of your albums, you spit a way that most people don't. Like, you spit from the heart.
Now, after meeting you, I'm thinking it probably was therapeutic.
It probably was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It probably was. To be able to say it. I think that's important to be able to say it. I mean, I always say, if you ain't right, I tell Brad Jr. is trying to get into it. He's producing, and then Bryce is trying to rap, and then my son Chris is trying to rap. And I'm telling him, like, look, bro, like, if you ain't writing, if you ain't crying when you're done writing that song, and you're not writing the right songs.
No, it's true, because, I mean, listening to you, I remember the joint you did with Jay and Beans, and the one you said with Brad's too. It made me bust a tear. I'm listening to it. I'm tearing.
That was actual factual right then and there.
I felt. I could feel it.
Yeah.
You even said in the record you cried as you was writing that verse.
Yeah. No, yeah. I cried when I rapped it. You can hear it. It was another one I cried on too, man. The damn No Surrender. That was a real story. Like, that was true. Like, they found my buddy in his house gone. And he was laying his safe dead. And poor Laura, she had a bullet through her hand, through her head, like she had.
Wow.
Like, it was a bad thing. And I recorded the video over there where it actually happened. And like reliving that moment, that in that studio, you could hear it in my voice. Like it came like, damn, you know, when if you write something, and you're not if you ain't crying when you're done writing it, then you didn't write the right shit.
Right.
Period. And that's just the long and the short of it for me. I come from a long list of musicians and writers,
right?
You know, and we always wrote and played our hearts. You know, I can't read music, but man, if you gave me a guitar, bro, I'd break the room down.
Right.
I heard you've been playing guitar too, like with rock bands and everything.
Yeah, I'm stupid, man. I'm having a good ass time.
What was your relationship like with Pac?
Pac?
Yeah, it seemed like you and Pac had a really good rapport with each other.
Yeah, until we was on the road.
And then what happened on the road?
Man, Pac just don't know how to act, man. Damn.
You blaming it on everybody else.
I think you don't know how to act.
Mr. Beat the principal up.
I think when I got older, I got cool as hell. When I started hanging around Jay, I got cool. Jay got...
Jay Prince?
No, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Yeah. No, Jay Prince.
Prince. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Prince cool, man. So when you get around Prince, you got it. You're like... Everybody get cool. The room get cool.
Right, right.
He a cool little old dude.
Yeah, cool or scared.
He cool as hell.
One of the two. The room get cool or scared.
Nah, I'm too. I'm too stupid to be scared. So.
DMX had said you were his favorite rapper and that when he met you for the first time, y'all had a long conversation and both of you cried during that conversation.
Do you I think I cried because I was scared that DMX was finna jump off of this damn thing in Atlanta.
Jump off what?
And you know how they got the, I don't know if, I don't even know the name of this hotel, but they got the wires in the hotel that hold like the stuff together in there. Mm-hmm. And you can step out over the balcony and stand on the wires.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z was, I mean, and DMX was standing on the wires?
On the wires.
Are you kidding
Why?
Me?
Was it a joke?
I don't know, man. I don't think it was a joke, but I was like, man, we need to talk. We got down and we talked about religion. We talked about the Bible. We talked about all kind of stuff. And at the end of the night, we prayed, man. We may have dropped a few tears. I don't remember dropping a few tears, but if he said we did, we did, you know. But I was more concerned about what he was going through, you know, because for a man to get to that point to where he wanted to just say,
but you stop. But you had been there before, though.
Yeah. Yeah, for a man to get to that point where he just wants to say, fuck it. Like it had to be something really deep going on.
So did you, when you saw God people in that same space you were in, did you look at them and see some of yourself?
I saw me. Mm. And then I say it again because he's living.
Right.
So it to me it's like X. You was like face, like you wanted the attention because you're not dead.
Right.
Right.
You know, you took your advice. And just lived as I took my own.
Right.
And just lived. I know for a fact that I don't want to die. I didn't want to die. Mm.
Did your relationship with your mother get better after all of this, you know, suicide attempts and acting out in school and then becoming successful?
Me and my mama never had no problems.
Oh, okay, because I know you said you needed attention from her and she wasn't really.
Yeah, that's when I was grown. I'm grown. I'm looking back and saying shit, I didn't have the attention from my mom. You feel me?
Right.
Like back then, I didn't know I wanted some attention from my mama. Mm-hmm. All I know is my mama went to work at 8 in the morning, and sometimes I went to school, and sometimes I didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I left last.
You know, because sometimes when you write a book, like, I'm sure your family members and other people have read the book ahead of it coming out, because it just came out. Yeah, yeah. So did people come to you and say, I had no idea you felt this way, or I had no idea this happened?
Pretty much, my grandmother, she's 86. So when she got a chance to read that, you know, she only knew me as her baby boy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm my grandmother's youngest child, in a sense, because my grandmother raised me. Mm-hmm. And when she got a chance to read all of that was going on in my life, like, she was like, yeah, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. You know.
Now, when you was president of Def Jam South, that's one of the many things you've done. Sure. How did that even happen?
I had no idea.
that was your idea. I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Man, I got an idea so mean. Who would dare?
Who would dare?
I have an idea so mean right now that, bro, when I did the Def Jam South deal, I said it was going to shock the world. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I'm going to shock the world again.
Was that something you enjoyed doing, being an executive?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it. I'm gonna shock the world again. I say, man, I had three lives.
Don't share that idea right now. Somebody steal it.
Hey, man, steal my idea.
I had three lives.
Mm-hmm. I had three lives.
What was it?
I'm having three lives.
What was it? The streets?
My first life.
Okay.
I didn't know what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. The second life, I moved so fast until it was just a blur. Right. I remember nothing about it. But the third one, I'm moving so slow and just watching the whole. I'm just watching this show now. They say you get 9 lives. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to need these 3.
Mm. Well, that's only if you're a cat, you get 9.
Well, I'm a cat. Okay. I'm a cold cat. Cold-blooded cat. But this third life right here, I'm seeing everything. You know,
who inspires you in hip-hop now? Do you even like hip-hop at the current state?
Schoolboy Q.
Love Schoolboy Q. I love Kendrick.
Mm-hmm. He cold.
It seemed like you like Future. I saw you.
Love Future. Wait, don't do that.
Don't
start that shit.
Cause we saw you on Instagram.
Nah. I love that. No, bad man.
But then you tweeted. Yeah, then you tweeted.
What about the comment?
Yeah.
I don't know what he said, but it's cold. That's cold to me. Hey, that's cold, man. That's raw to me. Like, I like that. I love that.
So it wasn't a diss?
Cause you know No, hell no. You can't run with no diss to not to my people. Nah. My only diss would be to, come on, let's get some dissing. Let me diss somebody. I diss Boehner. Like, John Boehner, I diss him. Like, that's a good diss. I would diss Al Sharpton, but it ain't really much to, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't diss Al, because even though he told on some people, like, I still love him, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that cool?
Is that cool?
Yeah. I mean, he did a lot for us, man.
He kind of did.
He did a lot for us.
He kind of did. I could diss.
Do you think, how
he's
does
trying
it feel
to think of other people to diss.
Right. How does it feel to not see so much resistance to Southern hip hop anymore? Because when you was coming up, it was like,
well, he was segregated.
It was.
Like, nah, you can't come up here.
I know for a pair, we never played.
Oh yeah,
Southern artists.
And now I come to New York, and that's all I hear is Southern music.
Yeah, yeah, across the country.
I think that's a great thing, but I would really like to take the boundaries off of it and just make it music.
Right.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't got no Southern country.
But you had. So why'd you have Def Jam South?
We had Def Jam South. They put that South on there.
I got you.
But I did want to run a division of Def Jam that we could put our people on down here. Mm-hmm. Because think about it, before it was that, we really didn't hear much of what was going on down there other than like Outkast or Luke. Mm-hmm. And you really ain't really played too much Luke. Mm-hmm. You know, but did we get some Outkast up here?
Yeah, we got Outkast up here.
A little bit or a lot?
No, a little.
A little?
Little.
Oh, no, I'm now mad.
Remember they got booed at the Source Awards?
They did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm mad at that. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you just don't boo Outkast, though.
Yeah.
But Dre.
Cole.
That boy 3G.
He need a solo album, though.
Nah, man. Dre need to stay right where he at.
He got legend status right now.
He is.
Yeah, yeah.
He, man. You know what would kill the game?
Mm-hmm.
If Outkast. I don't even want to talk about
it. Listen, Dre one of the greats, but it's hard to put him up there without one rap solo album. At least one, man.
Man, I don't know. Dre, you're great.
Now, what about this album you were going to do? I heard that you were going to do a joint album one time with Nas and a joint album one time with Jay-Z.
BD Siegel.
BD Siegel, yeah. Was any of those true?
With Beans?
Hmm?
Yeah. Beans and Nas. I was trying to do a Nas Cube and Bass. And then a Beans and Faze, but that didn't happen. Beans had to chill out for a little while. I'd like to do something with G-Rap and Billy Dan's. I like to, you know what I mean? I kind of want to do that. Right. I talked to Cube the other night, and we talked about it.
Cube, Nas, and Scarface?
I don't know if would it kill it?
I think that'd be hard. I mean, as a hip-hop fan, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then I'd sit down. And we really put the beats on it. You know, I go see Dre and Marley to get the beats. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
How do you grow gracefully in hip-hop, man? Because, I mean, you an OG, but nobody ever says, oh, Scarface is old.
Scarface is old. I ain't got to say it.
Yeah.
It's evident. You see this? It's there.
Mm-hmm.
To grow gracefully in hip-hop, is to do just enough to keep you relevant, but not too much to make you oversaturated or over-publicized.
Mm.
You know, as much as I love Jay-Z, and as much as I love Kanye and their situation, I just love the idea of being able to walk and catch the subway and not be with.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So they got too much fame, bitch.
I mean, dude, man, the man can't walk through the airport with his daughter, man, without people snapping pictures or grabbing her. You know, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I love them guys, man. And I feel like they deserve to have their privacy.
Mm. You ever feel underrated?
No.
No?
Nah, I think that every situation that became of face made sure that it happened like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can think way back, well, not way, way back, but way back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me, Jay, and Ye, and everybody else was running buddies. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of, I don't really want to be like that.
So you fell back.
You kind of got a little step back. Well, I had the opportunity when they made the switch, when L.A. Reid took over Def Jam, mm-hmm. that was probably going to be one of the biggest opportunities of my life, because I was probably going to get a position there because I was doing the business with Luda and making these other moves. With, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to do it like that.
Why?
I don't know. I don't want to be. Zero got a song. You ever heard of Zero? Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
He's got a song called Almost Famous.
Right.
And that song right there kind of sums it all up for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I love being almost famous.
You famous. You ain't almost famous.
Well, I love being almost famous.
I mean, in the hip hop circles, you more than famous.
I love being famously almost famous.
In hip hop circles, you more than famous. You're an icon out here. Yeah. You know what
I'm
saying?
Man, I think that my life is normal. I think that
that's
I go through.
I
think that I go through the same thing you guys go through.
Yeah,
you feel me? Yeah, your phone be ringing off the hook.
It's ringing off the hook now.
Mine too.
It well, should.
You've also spoken about retiring.
Nah,
but
that's
you have
a lie.
Another album coming out.
That mm-hmm. and the lie detector determined that was
it's a lie.
Okay. Anybody that say they retiring is lying. Mm-hmm. From this is like I said before. This is like the game. You don't retire from the game. You just stop playing it. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, we ain't got no pension. It ain't like we retiring and get social... what's
security. Social security.
No, yeah. Not social security. What they call a retirement fund. We ain't got no... We ain't got a retirement coming. We're dead. After this, we're done.
Right.
Hopefully, you put yourself in a position mm-hmm. where you can maintain the lifestyle that you lived
right.
when you were 20 when you're 60. All right? So, me being the man that I am, instead of trying to live the lifestyle that I lived when I was 20, when I'm 60, I just scale all that back.
Gotcha.
So, when I'm 60, if I make it, I'm good.
It seemed like you taking care of yourself. What made you want to get braces?
Man, I got tired of being ugly. Girls like dudes with braces for some reason.
No, I'm getting invisible.
Get the whole shit, though. I swear to goodness, you're going to have more chicks, man. They're going to be like, dang. You smiling? They be liking it. See, killing them with it.
Now, when you were incarcerated, you sat. I remember reporting the stories, and it seems like you sat longer than you should have.
Yeah.
Why was that?
Yeah, he was gone. I was like, man, what the hell?
Yeah, man.
I was like,
and
it
was like for child support.
Dick.
I was like, child support going that long.
And but time out though. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Well, first and foremost, I'm in a county that's ran by the Klan. Mm-hmm. Let me get closer. Mm-hmm. I'm in a county that's evident, that's most definitely the Klan, mm-hmm. all right, for one. And then you look at the judicial system and how it's set up for us any damn way. Mm-hmm. So you know we fail in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the 6 months that I was supposed to do for a kid that was already 19 years old that I took care of in the beginning, mm-hmm. turn into some totally different shit now. You know, they want to hold me for I don't know what reason. Still haven't figured that out. Mm-hmm. But I think that judge had a problem with me because I was black mm-hmm. and she was the one that didn't want to go to school with my mama. Mm-hmm. Remember when they... when
that
the
might
when
have
the,
been the principal family or something.
Remember when the schools integrated mm-hmm. and the white kids started walking out and the parents put...
No, we ain't that old, Faith. Now, I don't remember that part.
Well, you got to check that.
Oh, you talking look, about in history?
In history,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I bet you those same people that run the judicial system was the ones that walked out of the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, same people that's in charge of everything, you know.
True.
But
true.
Anyway, I got the short end of the stick for kids that we already took care of. Mm-hmm. And the state wants to create animosity between the man, woman, and child in the black families, you know. So they did more to me than what they were supposed to, mm-hmm. but all that's fine and dandy. That's behind me. I ain't mad, you know. Just don't you be mad, because mm-hmm. I'm moving on with my life.
Gotcha.
So hopefully they can move on with theirs. I did what I had to do, and that's what it is.
You named yourself Scarface. That was after the actual movie, right?
No, what? The public named me Scarface because of a song that I made. I had never watched that movie before I wrote that song. We didn't have VCRs back then.
Because I always think of the line when Jay-Z said, Scarface the movie did more than Scarface the rapper to me. So I always wonder what Scarface the movie did to you.
Scarface the movie when I finally to see Jay was the only one that had VCR. He had I swear to goodness. I'm not lying. Prince.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man, Jay had shit that we couldn't even imagine having when we was kids.
All right.
We was, and keep in mind, Jay wasn't that much older than me. You know, I think that if I signed, let me see, Jay is 6 years older than me.
Okay.
6 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 17.
He was 23.
Right.
But Jay 23 was like
43, the OG.
Alright? Like the man in the middle of nowhere. You know, nice spread, nice cars, nice this, nice that, you know, hardworking dude selling cars. You know what I mean? And reap the benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
To see that was when I started dreaming. Mm-hmm. To see him.
Right.
Scarface.
Mm.
To see Jay started my dream.
Mm.
That's when my dream started. Like, this was all attainable mm-hmm. by somebody that was a few years older than me.
Gotcha. From your hood, from your area.
Not from my area, but from my city.
City, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we're from two different sides of the tracks. Two different sides of the city. He's from the north side, I'm from the south side. But to see that with my own eyes was very inspirational to me.
So what was your original rap name?
DJ Action.
Okay.
Because I was a DJ. If you plug that up, I'll blow your mind.
You ain't going to do nothing.
Huh?
You got hype.
You trying to take my job.
From the face, like, what? Huh? How much you got? How much you got on it?
Yeah. No, I started as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, like, all the DJs that could rap,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure I could bust their ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Grandmaster D,
mm-hmm.
he had no chance. Like, he could scratch,
mm-hmm.
love him to death. But rapping and scratching, nah, mm-hmm. I was going to annihilate him. Whatever DJs that could rap, I wanted to be way better than them. So I focused on being that.
I think Khaled might wash you.
What? Man, I'll smash DJ. Smash Khaled. He might be able to out DJ me now, right now, because I'm out of practice.
Don't let him hype you up to say something crazy.
I gotta hype him up to say something crazy?
Yeah. I mean, if Khaled want to rap, if he want to battle me. Nah, I love Khaled, man.
Hey,
Khaled played a huge part in me, you know, making a record again, to make mm-hmm. an album again. Khaled was a huge.
Really?
Yes.
He gave you them phone calls? Like,
Oh, God. You talking about pep talk. Like, I would love to be in the gym with Khaled. You know.
We the best.
Yeah. That man, I love him to death, man. He gave me inspiration,
dope.
You know, in a whole lot of ways. He gave me beats, you know, to exercise on. You know, he gave me opportunity to. He gave me opportunity to get back and say something.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because if you think about it, when I first came home, hip hop was the first record that I was on.
Right.
You know, for somebody. Mm-hmm. And Khaled sent me a record. He was like, "Face, I want you to get on this record. I want you to see what you do with it." And then I wrote it, wrapped it, and sent it back to him. I said, "Hey, now listen. It's totally different. You know, I'm talking about something else here. Sound like I'm talking about a girl, but I'm talking about hip hop." And he listened to it and he called me and he went crazy.
Mm.
About 5 years later, no, I'm just playing. But a few months later, man, Nas got on it. And if you look on the reaction when I first heard Nas's verses on camera.
Right.
For the world to see.
Mm-hmm.
And boy. That's when it all dawned on me. Like, this guy is an animal.
Like, Nas, it just hit you.
Oh my
just,
God! No! I've been.
Like, y'all like did records
yeah,
together?
Yeah, no. When you know somebody, you don't look at them like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I look at Nas like my partner.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Like, this is my friend. This is. I call him. I look at Cube like my partner. Too Short, like, you know, Q-Tip.
You don't look at him like we look at him. As icons.
Right.
Yeah.
That.
Gotcha.
What he said. Now, but when I heard, I always knew he was a phenom.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard that, I was like, damn. Don't make me do this dame like a rental James. You know. You can have her. She's a mother. Damn, Nas. Like, I don't want to do this dame like a rental Jane. She's yours. You can have her. She's a mother. I was like, damn. And those lines right there let me know that what he was going, what he felt, like he felt that for hip hop, but he also felt that. You feel me?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Like when I wrote mine, like I felt that.
Right.
You know.
Now you talk about him being a phenom. You know you are a phenom. Do you look at yourself and be like, I'm a phenom? Like I see the way that you talk about all these other artists.
If you don't, you are.
When you talk about Andre 3000, when you talk about Nas,
I like giving people their flowers when they're here to smell them.
Absolutely.
You know, people like to call that ride nowadays.
No, I show respect.
Is due.
No. We family, man. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all to death. I don't want to be no bigger than nobody else, man. I don't want to be, you know, I appreciate y'all though. Really, I do.
Because
when you think about it, you're like, damn. Show you my album cover. To the album. Dude, you want to see a picture of me when I was a little boy? You laugh, we boxing.
Let me see.
He said, you laugh, we boxing.
Man, that's Troy Ave. That ain't you.
That's me.
You got a book signing tomorrow.
I do, yeah.
7 p.m. Powerhouse Arena in Brooklyn.
I'm going.
The book's out right now, Diary of a Madman. When the album coming?
July, man.
You going to show us the cover? Let me see the cover.
Nah, that's
it. Another kid picture?
That's the ghetto boy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about that. I'm talking about cuz. Like, damn.
You look like you had about a quarter spoon. You used to sell about a quarter spoon.
I was there. So this is the album cover. This is the neighborhood I grew up in.
Scarface, Deeply Rooted.
This is the neighborhood I grew up in.
That's tough.
All right. To be from right here, and it's a buddy of mine. That's Anthony walking up the block right here.
Okay. Show the camera.
Nah, not yet.
Okay.
For me to be here in New York with you guys coming from that area right there makes me know, like, damn, bro.
Anything's possible.
I'm glad you didn't kill yourself. I'm glad you didn't kill yourself.
Absolutely.
You feel me?
We glad you didn't kill yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I appreciate that, man. You really have no idea. Because this could have all turned out the wrong way for me. Because I was one of them kids. You know how you try to, you know how you see kids and you want to go back and try to save them or try to help them? You know, I was one of those kids. Are you talking about him?
Oh, don't tell me getting the mic.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm too goddamn cool for school. But you see those kids that and you want to help them.
Right.
And you try to do your best. And like I said, I was one of those kids. And to be able to live and to become a man and to learn from the mistakes that I made, you know, over those years to be sitting here, like, it's some big shit to me.
All right up.
You know, it lets me know that I'm glad I didn't do what I thought I wanted to do. You know.
But we appreciate you.
It's big for us to have you here.
Absolutely.
Really?
To come on the show. Absolutely.
Oh, Houston going to love
the
this.
Day that
one time for 93.7 The Beat in Houston.
Absolutely.
The day that your big book is out, talking about
big.
The album.
That's right.
We appreciate you.
Diary of a Madman, pick it up right now.
Uncle Face, Scarface.
Scarface.
Deeply Rooted coming.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning.